Sunday the 12th of July, Kof Tammuz, Rabbi Dr. Yosef Gerber, the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it sounds good. first of all, it's very nice coming back here, I must tell you that. I hope it's a mutual feeling, but for me certainly. Chaim Brisker once said, he said that, we're talking about a little bit of still Pinchastik, a little bit of Kanoos in us today. He said two sorts of, two categories are interested in catching the mouse. The cat and the balabais. The difference is the cat enjoys the chase. The balabais wants to get rid of the mice. And he said that, there's a big nafkamina. He said, we've got to be very careful in Kanoos to know which category we fit in. It shouldn't be a self-perpetuating exercise. Jobs for the boys, be a kanoi. My Rebbe, Nosson Orgman, used to say, he said, Maisa Pinchas is in one parasha, Schar Pinchas is in another one, because you don't give Schar for Kanoos as Roshnel, you have to see if it's really genuine. So you wait a Sedra till you give him a Schar. I want to take one Nekuda from the Inyan of Pinchas today, just one aspect of it, which I think is very much Mzach. What did Pinchas achieve? What basically was pivotal in Pinchas' masa? Halacha ve'emoin came. Do more than you're told. Where do you find a parallel to this in Torah? We find it with B'nai Aaron Nod of Abiyu. V'kol v'osom v'fnei Hashem v'yomuzu. And they had a very high madrega. If you look in Rapshit HaSvarim, you'll see there were 10 madregas of Vekus they achieved. I mean, it's not to Mishaya. I think the sons of Rav said that in his day already you couldn't be Mishaya what they were. 10 madregas of Dvekus. Nevertheless, they were Nifta, they were Mace, because there was a small element of self in it, whatever that means, Lafi Al Madrega, we can't understand it. It was not 100% mamish for Kvod Shemayim. There was a little bit of themselves in it, and that was enough for the Neshomas to go. But they wanted, they were very high madrega. The Raya is Rashi. Rashi says Beferish. That Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, I can see that they're greater than either of us. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say, Divin Achom, which not Emes, Cholila. Moshe Emes. If Moshe says they were greater than Moshe of Aaron, they were in certain Nekudas. And nevertheless, they weren't mashed in what they did. There is a concept, which I don't pretend to understand, of Ibu Neshoma. Not Gilgul, but Ibu Neshoma. That means it's shayach when a person does a pu'ula with tremendous besiris, that he can have the shomos of earlier doras joining him. Lemoshul. One of the Talmidei Ha'ari was very, very nizer on pigeon shvuim. He was most anefesh for pigeon shvuim. And he was a young man. He came in the base of Medrash. The Ha'ari HaKodesh stood up. He asked the Ha'ari, why are you standing up for this young man? He said, because I felt that the Pinchas ben Yoyah came in with him. The Pinchas ben Yoyah, the Shver of the Beinu HaKodesh, the greatest of the Tanoim. Remember the Gemara Chulin, about how great the Pinchas ben Yoyah was. And he was Oisig and Pidgin Shvoim, the famous Maisa with the Ganoi, with the river split three times. That was Pinchas ben Yoyah, the Pinchas ben Yoyah. I felt that the Shoma of the Pinchas ben Yoyah coming in, because they had an Ibn Shoma, he joined up, because he was doing it. Says the Rebbe Mipshischa, Rebbe Simcha Bunim, he says that when Shteitan Zaya, that when Pinchas did his Maisa of Kanoas and the Shomas of Nodav Abihu joined, were part of it. Because they were the maschil in doing what they weren't commanded to do. But they weren't mashlimit. But the hashloma of what they wanted was achieved by Pinchas when it was halacha v'ein merin came. And Pinchas was able to achieve it in total. And therefore, there the Shomas joined with him. And then he says, he says, Pinchas then becomes the dogma of how to be Mosif, how to add. You add entirely Lashem Shomayim. Mekono is kinosi b'sochom, no person in this. Entirely Lashem Shomayim. The Musafin of Kolashono in Parshas Pinchas, says the Rabbi Pshista, because the Musafin is the union of being Mosif. Every Korban Musaf is Ma'ora, the union of being Mosif of your own. That's what the Rabbi Pshista says. This I use as an adoma to an inyan which the Moray Naim, the Chernobyler, brings. And I think it has a very profound yesod which is nagea to all of us. Pinchas is Elio. Pinchas is Elio. Pinchas is actually 8 times Yud Kei Vav Kei in Gematria. This is the Malach HaBris. Look in Targum Yonason of an Ort. eight times Yud Kei Vav Kei. Pinchas is a Rio, says the says the Moy Naim. He says that Eliyahu is the Mavaseh of the Geula. In Yanochi Shalech Hashem Eliyahu Novi, 3 days before the Geula, Eliyahu Novi will announce it. Why does he have to announce the Geula? Because the Geula needs Hachono. You can't just be in a matzav of Geula. You've got to work for it. And what is the Ikka Koyach of Pinchas? To be Mavakish, to want to do more. He said that is the aside that we've got to have in our Hachonos for Geula. We want to do more. And therefore Eliyahu, who symbolizes Eliyahu's Pinchas, this idea of doing what you weren't told to do, doing even more, he becomes the announcer of Geula, the Mavasu of Geula, because that is what is required of each of us in the Achana for Geula, to want to be Mosif, but delay of ourselves. Very, very important you said this. That it's not the pshat, we're waiting for Mashiach, forget it. Chaim Volozhinov says, "Ami yesh leishoyin alvina shushmayim." At the end of Sota, we rely on the Rabbonis Shel Olam. He said that's part of the Tochacha, part of the Klala. If you say, "Ami yesh leishoyin alvina shushmayim," in Ruchnias you don't rely on the Avina Shushmayim. Of course, you get Shad Lishmayim, but you rely on your efforts. So this is not the right attitude. This waiting for Mashiach, you've got to do it for Mashiach. Mutadab spoiler. And that's what Eliyahu symbolizes, wanting Mashiach, wanting the Kedusha of Mashiach. You know, Rabbi Dessler of the Mongozov, I heard this from Ravalta. Dessler once said, the reason why we haven't got a base of Migdash is because in his time it was the American tourists. Now it'd be Japanese maybe. Because if we had a base of Migdash, they'd walk around with their cameras saying, what a lovely shul. And that's why we haven't got a base of Migdash. They think that's what it is. A little bit of sort of superior architecture and also the base of Migdash. It's have nothing to do with it. Vesemidish the Mokma Shoros Hashchina, where the Shemayim Va'oetz meet, where all the Gvulim of Teva become bottle. Where Eish comes down min Hashemayim, Mamish you see Hashoros Hashchina. That's what Vesemidish is, and that's what you've got to want. Maral state, you get after the Bias HaGoel what you wanted before, but it's got its price tag on now. No, whatever it's worth. And this is an important klal. It's what state in Michtav Eliyahu, it's the Ichud Tzibur Masubah V'Ruchnius, cause and effect. Fused together in Ruchnius. Cause and effect become the same. In Gashmius, you have a Sibba and you have a Totor. But in Ruchnius, it's all the same. Moshe and Aaron, says Rabbi Dessler, went to Paro to demand the Chayos of Bnei Israel. Says Rabbi Dessler, the very act of going to Paro, the very act of going was itself an act of redemption of Gula, because you're defying the great Melech. So in other words, the means to the end and the end become the same. This is the Yichud Tzibur Mesubah V'Ruchnius. And this is what you find here. You know, there's a Gemara, Saftomit. The Gemara talks about Alexander. Alexander was an interesting person, as you know. Alexander the Great, I don't think he lived more than 30 or 31 years till he was poisoned by his own chevra. He had a very tumultuous few years. World conqueror. It's interesting, there's a Medrash quoted in Tosfos that Alexander was taken above the world and he saw the world looking like a ball, a long time before the Goyim knew such a thing of the world being round, right? This is talking about 1700 years ago, Shtet Medrash, it was referred to Alexander. Alexander was one of his journeys, there's a lot of Saksavetan about Alexander the Great, very interesting stories in the Gemara. But one of them was, he was seated on one of his travels and he had a fish. But in those days, they had no means of preserving the food except by salting it. The Gemara says, if you do it for a long time, you mamish, you cake it in like a bed of salt. And that will last. And they had a string attached to this, and he dangled his fish into the stream, and as the salt dissolved, the fish became edible. That was the way they did it. And he smelt a reich which was absolutely unusual in this fish. And he realized it was a reich of Gan Eden. So he decided he'll follow the stream, he'll get to Gan Eden. And he followed it to an entrance, to like a cave where the stream came from. And there was a malach there. He said, "I'm sorry, you can't come here." He said, "I'm Alexander, the world conqueror, forget it. We're not despoiled from world conquerors. Zer Shal Hashem Tzadikim Yevavo." This is for Tzadikim, not for big sort of big soldiers. He said, "Give me at least a siman, I've been here." So the malach there gave him a tiny little bone. He said, "Go and weigh it in your treasury," a famous chazal. And he took it back and he weighed it in his treasury, and no matter how much gold and silver he put on the other side of the scale, this little bone outweighed it all until a chochm came, until a few sprinklings of earth sprinkled it on the bone, and suddenly the bone became nothing. And the Chacham explained, this bone is the bone which surrounds the human eye. And the human eye will never be satisfied. Whatever you see, it will want more and more. It will take in all the gold and silver of Olam until the dust of the Kever settles on it, and suddenly it's all the Sheifas for Gashmias disappear. This is what the Limud was given to Alexander. And the reason why I'm quoting this Chazal is because it's the same Yesod. When Alexander came to the gates of Gan Eden, then they didn't give him stump a simon that he's been there. They gave him the means to get there. You really want to go to Gan Eden? Then you have to learn the Limud of this little bone. It's a means to the end. It's not just the end. It tells you that there are different values, as Avi Shtate and Kelim, the base of Musa, used to say. So, Hobn Olam Hazeh and Hobn Olam Habo is Nishkan Stira. You can have Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. Rabbi was Zochel Shtate and others. But to want Olam Hazeh and want Olam Habo, that's a Stira. You can't want them both. If you want one, you don't want the other. It's this or Tadda, whichever one. They are mutually exclusive. They can't live together.
What did you say just previously then?
What, sorry?
What did you say just previously?
That's what they used to say. But Podesta quotes the name of his father. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Shua ben Levi met, famous Gemara, a Duodic Gemara, he met Eliyahu HaNavi. He said, Mosai Kosi, when is he coming? When's Mashiach coming? Why did you go and ask him? Well, I mean, I'm sure Malevi had a sort of a means of doing it, but obviously we don't have. He said, I'll go and ask him, and tell me where I'll find him. To go to the gates of Rome, when you come to the gates of Rome, you'll see somebody there bandaging the Aniyim who are Cholim. And that's Mashiach. And he only does one at a time. He's got to be ready to come at a short notice. They want it, whoops, he's there. So he went to the gates of Rome, and he saw somebody that bandaging and looking after the cholim who are aniyim. And obviously this was Mashiach. He said, when are you coming? He said, Ayom, I'm coming today. So Yeshua ben Levi was overjoyed, and no doubt he put on big day Shabbos and waited for Mashiach. He didn't come. Obviously he didn't come. He's not there yet. The next day he went back to Eliyahu HaNavi. He said he's coming. He said, what did he say? He said, Ayom im b'kolo tishmo. I'm prepared to come today, but you've got to want me. Imbakolo Tishmo. The Maharal says a Hezbah, which is Nifladik on this Gemara. Says the Maharal, what's up shut the gates of Rome? You know, when you've been through something, you've seen the whole lot, you come to the gates. The gates are the way out. When Rome has no more to offer, that means the Gullus and the Gashmis of Olam, as there's nothing more to give to you, when you reach the gates of Rome, at that stage, you're ready for Mashiach. If you still think Olam Hazeh, yeah, I've got to chuck this around and this one, I've got to see this and do that, you're not ready for Mashiach yet. You've got another agenda, another itinerary. But when you really reach the gates of Rome, Olam Hazeh doesn't offer me anything, then I'm ready for Mashiach. And what are the categories of people who have no hanoah from Olam Hazeh? Somebody, Cholila Cholila, who is very, very ill. Or somebody, Chas V'Shalom, who is desperately poor, mamash doesn't have food to eat. These two categories have no hanoah from Olam Hazeh. And that's where you'll see Mashiach, with the Aniyim and the Cholim, people who have total bittul of Olam Hazeh. In the bittul of Olam Hazeh will be the garin, the seed of Mashiach growing. That's where you'll find it. It's a tavir. It's not so easy. It's easy to say, we want Mashiach now, fine. Mashiach's going to want you as well. I mean, it's nisha zoi poshut. And actually, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara with the Hezbah of Chaim Velozner. Chaim Velozner gave this Hezbah in one of his drushas, it must have been 170 years ago, either Shabbos Agadol or Shabbos Tshuva, one of his drushas he gave. And no doubt it was Torah Sagra, because of Kamat, everything Reb Chaim said is Torah Sagra. And somebody had the Seichel and the Siyat Nishmaya to write down the drasha at that time, and so we have it. In the debate in Bechoros between Reb Yeshua and the Sabbat of Beatuna and the Athenian sages, the Chachomim of Athens, that is the great philosophers of the time, they posed riddles to each other. To try and in those riddles, Yesodos HaOlam were being unraveled. One of the questions the Sabbat de Beyatuna, these Goyish HaChachomim, said to a Bishur is, how do you preserve food? How do you look after, how do you stop food going bad? He replied, with salt. Then they said to him, what happens when salt goes bad? He says, oh, that you use Suliaisat Kudnaisa, the afterbirth, the placenta of a mule. So they said to him, Bishur, what are you talking about? You know, a mule is a sterile creature, doesn't have any vloders. That's true, he said, and salt doesn't go bad. Fella, what's going on? They're talking, I'm sure. So, Velozina, it was very important, the Yisod here being discussed. They said to him, look, the Banish Shalom is punishing the Jews. You're in Golos now. And he's doing it because you are not loyal to him. Right? So, in other words, he wants to put you straight. He wants to preserve you. And therefore, Golos is the salt to preserve Am Yisrael. But what happens when the salt goes bad? When as a result of the Golos, instead of getting better, you get worse. You get more assimilated. You become mamish pagoished. What happens to that? So what happens when the salt goes bad? What do you do? So he said, you use the afterbirth of a mule, but a mule doesn't have an afterbirth. In Teva, there's no such thing. It does not exist. And similarly, the teva of Am Yisrael is such that when the pressure is sufficient, all the shell which is around will break away, and the yid will come back to his pnim. In other words, it's not shayach that the yid in Golos ultimately will be completely subrochen and assimilated. Some may be lost on the way, Rahman Litzlan. But the kern of Yisrael must remain, because that's the pnim. That's the nature of Yisrael. It's indestructible. That's what he said. It's the afterbirth of a mule. Something which in teva doesn't exist. Klal Yisrael have a pnim which is Kodesh. You know, some of the Roberts quotes in one of his shiurim. It says, Bilam wanted to destroy Am Yisrael. And he says, Geda Mezer v'Geda Mezer. On the way to destroy there was a fence. Either Geda Mezer v'Geda Mezer. Says the Rebbeinu Shlalom, the Medrash quotes, you want to destroy an Am which has a Geda, which is, has Luchos, which are Ksuvim, Mezer, Mezer, and Ksuvim. So how can you, with your Geda Mizeh and Geda Mizeh, destroy an Am which has Luchos, Mizeh, Mizeh, Hinksov? What does it mean, Mizeh, Mizeh? It goes right through. The Luchos have the Pnim of Kedusha. Klal Yisrael has a Pnim of Kedusha. And if you come with your Chitzoniastic of philosophies, your Geda Mizeh, Geda Mizeh, but the Pnim of Yisrael is Kedusha, and we're indestructible. And that's the Soed and the Yisod of Klal Yisrael, the indestructibility of the Kedusha Seed. You know, somebody put it to you, put it this way, he said, imagine somebody wants to buy a house, and he needs £100,000 cash to buy his house, apart from whatever else, mortgages, grace, and he decides that the bank is 300 yards from the solicitor's office, so why should he have a cash transfer of £100,000, he'll lose it, grace, 1% or what, it's a lot of money. So he'll draw out the money in notes and walk down with one of these bags, you know, the way some communities go around with lots of money in bags, right? So he drew his £100,000, mamish his life savings, he took it out of the bank, he had a special arrangement with a manager, and he walks confidently towards the solicitor's office. On the way, a huge thug rushes up to him with a big stick in his hand, your money or your life. What's the response of this fellow? It's life savings. How much? £100,000. All he's worked for. Kol Yomov. There are two responses. One of them, he just jealous. He just sort of dissolves. What can he do? He breaks down. He's in tears. He's hopeless. Everything in his life is gone. A second possible response. Eshreit Chai V'Kayim. I want help from my Avodah Zarah. Mars, Neptune, Jupiter, you name it. Save me. Any Avodah Zarah Shabbat Olam, save me. Now, who is worse of these two fellows? The one who jealous or the one who shrike? I would have thought, I'm sure perhaps you'll agree with me, the one who shrike is a vodazor is worse. It's not so. Have a look. The person who shrike for the vodazor, that was Cheta Egel. After Cheta Egel, they were still allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. It was still possible. The one who jellied, that was Tisha B'Av. Chosokumi Menu. Tisha B'Av, they weren't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Because the difference is about his eyes, the chashtus, it's a bittle. And when a person comes to his circle of sea, it's nothing. But this idea that the Rebbeinu Shlom hasn't got the koyach to do what we need him to do, that sort of living without the Rebbeinu Shlom, that chas v'sholom can be a part of one's life, and one can live ad me'er v'eshrim with that. And therefore that was what Tisha B'Av was all about. He can't run away. Of course we know logically he's a kol yochol, but lemaisa, I mean, lemaisa, you know, you heard this before, we have to do our ishtadlus and this and that and the other. It's not true. And that's what happened on Tisha B'Av. And therefore Tisha B'Av there was a gezeira. And what was the gezeira? A shtak gezeira, an unbelievable gezeira. That nobody's going to go over the between 20 and 60 into Eretz Yisrael. And Tisha B'Av is a tikkun for that. And that's why the Tales of Rav used to say, Ka'al ha'moyed lishbo b'choray. What's for ha'moyed? Is it a shein ha'moyed? We sit on the floor crying. And the tzoras of Yidden of thousands of years doesn't ha'moyed. Ha'moyed, you can imagine, dancing and singing. Sisa b'simcha b'simcha's Torah doesn't ha'moyed. What sort of moyed do we cry on? So the Tales of Rav, moyed means it's kavas to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, getting close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in two ways. You can get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu through the Simcha, but Cholila Cholila, even Tzar in Tzoros, you can see the Yad Hashem. And that was the Ashkocha of Tisha B'Av throughout these thousands of years. It was by Swishon, it was by Shein, it was called Beta, it was expulsion from Spain. And we had it right through the world. First World War was declared on Tisha B'Av. Ada Yom Hazeh, we can see it. Tisha B'Av. A special day. It's a moed. It brings us closer to the Ribbono Shel. The Klausenberger Rebbe has gesagt, he says, B'dumayich chayai, we say it twice. B'dumayich is an expression of dam, Mesiras Nefesh. B'dumayich has got another meaning, domain. V'yidom arum. B'dumayich chayai, by keeping quiet, by not questioning the Eibishter, that is also the chiyas of Klal Yisrael, the ability to stand every kol minitzah shel olam, and in spite of all that, to say, Ribbono Shel, we know it's from you. And that was the limud of Tisha B'Av. It was a hard limud, but it was a genuine limud. And that's our, as I said, I mentioned at the beginning, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. It's a moed. The Ribbono Shel Olam is showing himself b'toch golus. And if we are mekayim b'domayachai twice, and we are willing to be domeim and not to question the Eibishter, on the contrary, to use the churban to come closer to him, then we'll be zocher to the light at the end of the tunnel. But it depends on us. I'll tell you a dover niflo. I think it's a dover nifla. I'm very spoiled from it. Maybe you'll share my feeling. If I were to ask you to categorize Eliezer Eved Avraham, what would you say? What sort of fellow was he? Big fellow? Well, physically, he was very big. Some say he was Og Melech HaBoshem, but he was a big man. A big man, right? He was Dola Mashke Mateus Rabo Lachevim. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Avraham's Yeshiva. You know how many Talmidim Avraham had? According to the Rambam in the Hilchos Avodas Kechovim, Alofim and Mavavas, at least 22,000. Big Rosh Hashiva, 20,000 Talmidim. That was Eliezer. Hamoshel b'chol ha'shalo, Hamoshel b'yitzok ha'vavo, he had the same shlita of his yitzok as Avraham Avinu. That's really saying something. The Madrega of Avraham Avinu in Shiras ha'yitzah, the Rosh Hashiva of Avraham Avinu's yeshiva. Right, a big man. We asked the Mokum Rochek on the way to the Akedah. Eliezer and the Yishmael didn't see it. Vosok the Pasuk, Shvulach em Purim Achama, Am HaDom El Achama. Yishmael, I understand. Eliezer, you're Dom El Achama? How is it possible? You're Dom El Achama, and on the other hand, you're Dolo Mashke Meteus Rabbel Achim. How does it square? It's a good Shaila. I saw the turrets, and I think it's an emissary vote in this. What's the character or the characteristic of a chamer? Right, you have a donkey. A donkey, in a perfect place, 1 or 2 years, it reaches maximum strength. I don't know how long a donkey can live for. 8, 10 years, it could slap 100, 150 kilo. And then it's fed, oh, it's donkey, finished. So how long did it donkey along for? For 7 or 8 years, carrying 150 kilos. There's no such shy of a donkey steigen. Last year it carried 150, this year it'll carry 200. He's a donkey. Am Adom Alechamer means you reach a level, that's it. Stop, you don't go any further. This was a characteristic which Eliezer had, which made him not being able to be Mr. David Babel. Of course he was very great. But this Indian of going higher and higher, this Steigen, seeing the Shechinah on top of the mountain, no, Am Adom Alechamer. This is our Yisraelus, to see the Shechinah on top of the mountain and try and climb it. That's what our chayv is. I say a beautiful little anecdote about Rav Aryeh Levin. Rav Aryeh Levin, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim, he was the mashkiach. He looked after the bochrim and the Talmud Torah in Yerushalayim. They used to chap him because he was such a tzaddik. The little boys used to come and tease him. They used to come with a closed hand and say, Rabbi, what have I got in my hand? It wasn't you. And one boy decided he's going to chap Rabbi. He's going to defeat him. And he caught a live moth in his hand. He said, Rabbi, what have I got in my hand? Is it alive or dead? If Rabbi would say it's alive, he'd squash it and it would be dead. And if Rabbi would say it's dead, he'll release it. So he's got him either way. Rabbi Galati said, you know what you've got in your hand? A chayim v'amoris. Life and death is in your hand. That's the limit I want to mention to you. A chayim v'amoris is up to us. Everything is in our hand. It's up to us to make the key decisions in life. A chayim v'amoris. You know, there's a chassam sofer. Nifadika chassam sofer. He says that Haman of Russia was besimcha rabba when it turned out Chodesh Adar. Chodesh Adar and his girl, because he knew in Chodesh Adar Moshe Rabbeinu was mace. He didn't know Moshe Rabbeinu was also born in Chodesh Adar, and Moshe Rabbeinu's schus is making on all the Chodesh, and no tzaras can come to Am Yisrael during the Chodesh Adar. They're good. A problem. Aaron HaKohen is one of the few whose yahrzeit is mentioned in the Torah as Chodesh Av. So why is the schus of Aaron not making on Chodesh Av? That's what some sofer asks. Moshe and Aaron was shocked. He says very simply. He says, what was the middah of Aaron? Oh, Shalom, the road of Shalom. Oh, Yves Abiyas, Makab on the Torah. That was the middah of Aaron HaKohen. And what was the Chum by Sheni about, the long Golas? It was very simply about Loshon Hara, about Sinas Chinam, about getting at people. This is exactly the opposite of Aaron. And if we don't behave the way Aaron behaves, how can we use the source of Aaron for going in the opposite direction? Right? You can't get a lift to start going north when you're going south. And that's the pshat. That's why we weren't zocher to the schus of Aaron being megan Moshe Enke, and Chodesh Adar, Moshe is in Yenov Kapolas Atar, and they were Mekabel Torah, Kimu Moshe Kibbul Kvar, that was okay. But in Chodesh Adar, we could not call upon the schus of Aaron for this reason. You know, incident, just to show you what's a gemilas chesed, a maisa chesed. There was a yid in America who broke down on the motorway, and it was before they had mobiles, and he decided that the only way he broke down because he ran out of petrol, nothing more. You need petrol, so he had to get out and walk. It was a dark evening in a very bad area. He's walking along with his can to get some petrol, and as he's walking down, three young kids, about 13, 14, with knives, jump on him, knock him to the floor, take all his money. And then one of them says, Jew, I've got to kill you. Because if I don't kill you, the police will come after us and we're finished. There's a video, he thought that was the end. Suddenly a huge black man came out of the bushes. Mamash, like Goliath, about 7 feet tall. He towered over them. He came charging over like an avalanche. And the kids were terrified. He said, throw those knives on the ground. They were trembling. And he said, give every cent back to that Jew. If not, I'll break every bone in your body, one at a time. He looked as if he would. They just cleared out. They ran. They were gone. He helped the Jew up very carefully, the Yid brushed him down, said, you can't walk here yourself, and he, arm in arm, they went, this huge fellow and this little Yid are walking to the petrol station, he filled up his can, he came back, he put the petrol on his car, and said, start up your engine, everything Poseidon? Yeah, he said, everything fine? He said, okay, I can go now. I said, what? Can I give you something? No. He said, why'd you do this to me? I said, I'll tell you why. He said, when I was younger, this big black man said, I used to sleep rough on a park bench. And I had nothing in the world. I was surviving on basic necessities. And there was one Jewish rabbi I used to walk by. And every day he gave me a little present. Sometimes a quarter, half a dollar. It was the only thing I had in the world which was mine. It kept me alive. And it went on for a few years. And then the rabbi stopped coming. I thought, you know, it's a holiday. And eventually I made inquiries. I found out that the rabbi had died. And he's mentioned the name of this rabbi. So I thought, what can I do? I can't do anything with the rabbi. He's not alive anymore. But some days the Jew will be in distress, and in the merit of this rabbi, I'm going to help that Jew. And you are a Jew in distress today. And the name of that rabbi was Shlomo Carlebach. And he told him. And this Yid who was driving the car told it to Mishpocha, and it was repeated at one of his Yahrzeit. And the Chiddush was, I once mentioned this story in a seminary in Yerushalayim, and one of the girls said, do you know that today is Shlomo Karlovach's Yahrzeit? That was the day I told them this story. And it's a mythological story, because it's so simple. You do a chesed, you've got no idea what a maaser chesed can do. It's a midas chesed, chesed is more than the mid of Peronius. And if being kamsa and bar kamsa, being greedy, can be machriv Yerushalayim, then no doubt that a little bit of extra chesed will be bonu Yerushalayim, be payo, and I hope we're on time, and I wish everybody a good morning. Okay.